From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Prep with me, Eric Wiltshire, at the base of the Tatry Mountains here in eastern Slovakia, and Lee Banks in India. Can you believe it? On an international station. Mark Gander at the bottom of the Alps this week. So we've got the Alps, we've got the Tatras Mountains, and we've got the horrible man going to the Grand Prix tomorrow. Marvellous.
I am.
What a wonderful thing. By the way, I should say thank you to Paul McGuinness and the team from Manchester United, who graciously gave me a fully signed Manchester United shirt, autographed by all the players, Mr. Banks.
I'll be getting Jason Button to sign my cleavage tomorrow.
To sign your what?
Cleavage.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That I want.
Hey, don't Gandhi had man boobs, you know.
Excuse me, ladies
and
gentlemen.
Are you talking about cleavage or builder's crack?
Excuse me a moment, boys. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Mr. Banks just said he is going to get Jensen Button, he's got me saying now, Jensen Button to autograph his cleavage. Therefore, yes, we demand pictures of this, otherwise we'll assume he was lying and he's...
You're not having pictures of my cleavage, you could get lost.
We will put them on Facebook if he truly does it. However, I suspect the pictures won't be there because he won't do it.
Because I don't have a cleavage.
Which reminds me...
Unlike somebody else.
Tell me a little bit about this clip, Lee, which is apparently it's now Christmas in India.
It is. And being quite seriously, it's. I'll make a joke, I always say, like they've all gone Doolally for Diwali. But Diwali is the festival of light over here, and it's a key date in the Hindu calendar. They light lamps and to signify the victory of good over evil, and they give each other gifts, which is nice. Exactly, not massive gifts generally, but you know, just things like sweets and biscuits and things like that. And they give them to everybody. We're at a market. 2 days ago, and the market stall holders were giving you sweets and biscuits, and it's just a way of actually presenting Christmas, their equivalent to Christmas, in such a good way. But it gets a bit noisy.
And just explain what we're hearing, Lee.
This sounds like we're in a war zone. This sounds like we're somewhere off. This is actually the firing...
Of the, I got it. Okay, so this is the firing of the fireworks as Lee disappears off again for a second. In whereabouts was it, Lee?
This is in Delhi. This is just in an area called Gorgan, just outside the centre of Delhi. And these people, a lot of these people who are setting these fireworks off, genuinely live in shanties. And there's no shame in that when I say that. I'm not looking down on them.
Amazing. Beautiful sound. God, I wouldn't mind a firework display like that around my house, that'd be for sure. Very nice indeed, Lee. Yeah, so we can go with that one.
Good. Well, I think that's wonderful.
Well, that was the understatement of the year, wasn't it? Yeah. Was it all pretty colours and stuff like that? Describe it for the listeners.
I've just been describing it. Have you not been listening?
You just said it was like a war zone. A war zone has bombs in it. This was pretty fireworks.
It's the most incredible thing you've ever witnessed. When those fireworks go off, if you heard them going off then it's amazing. What they're actually doing is invoking their gods. The fireworks, the actual colours and the drama of it are all to do with it being the Festival of Light, of course.
What colours were the fireworks?
Red, green, yellow, pink, blue, orange, all sorts, white. How many colours do you want to be? It was like an exploding rainbow across the stars of the night. It was one of the most wonderful things I've ever seen. Probably that firework display, which went on for, in that clip, about 20 seconds, in reality, probably went on for 20 hours. Honestly, that's how long it went
20
on.
Wow.
20 hours of fireworks like that. And days, it goes on for days. But they're actually...
£5 box.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Now, I'll tell you what, quite seriously, fireworks are not cheap over here.
To anybody listening from the Indian Tourist Board, ignore the first clip about the description of the fireworks. Take the second one and you can use that one because it just makes more sense to get the tourists out there.
Yes.
And it's I tell you what, I'm being quite serious. It's a proper celebration for the English Delhi Tourist Board, whatever you want. It's a proper celebration. This isn't slobbing out in front of your telly and telling your granny dirty jokes. This is proper celebrating Christmas.
Well, have you finished now?
I could go on for ages if you want.
No, I think we'll pass. Right. I think we'll pass on that. Now we've all got to get thinner, in it. Well, I haven't. You have when you go back, Lee. So you're going on a massive diet before you go back to England?
Well, no, I'm not. But I'll tell you what, the government wants me to, don't they? I think this is more and more stupid. But the government, basically, we are looking by the year 2027 that the population of Britain will have gone up from whatever it is now, 59 million to 70 million. Now, remember, we're only a little island, aren't we? We're not big, right? 70 million people through immigration and through the fact that, more people, the births of the nation. I want to use that headline, right? It's going to grow massively. And at the same time, the government have told us that we have to, the whole of
what, Lee? Lee's off again.
Britain.
The whole of Britain.
Oh, right. Whole of Britain, yes, yeah. Yes.
Has to lose 50 billion calories a day. 50 billion calories a day. Now, what struck me, being an investigative journalist, is that actually what this is, because the population is going to grow so big, that we've all got to lose weight so that we can fit them all in.
Right. Marvellous. Yeah. Wonderful. Being as everybody else has been plugging them, Sunday evening at 9 UK time on Ridge Radio, which is www.ridgeradio.co.uk. An old friend of mine, Chris Medhurst, is on there. And apparently he's got a new series of my top tens from people. And the first one that's going to be on there this week, with some great music, minus any of the old music, will be none other than Eric Wiltshire.
Wait. What, so, you're doing it? You're doing your top 10?
My top 5. It will be featured on Ridge Radio with Chris Medhurst on Sunday evening. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be modern music.
Yeah, like yeah. Matt Munro.
Specifically not Matt Munro. Oh, there'll be none of these blokes who...
Edmund Hockeridge.
Who?
Edmund Hockeridge.
Who's that?
He's a singer from your era, you big knob.
I've never heard of him.
Oh, you're such a philistine. Anyway, who are you going to have then?
Oh, well, I can't tell you that because it wouldn't be the surprise, would it?
Is that like Desert Island Discs? Is that what you're doing? Like Desert? I want to do it. You tell him I want to do it.
anyway, so first show on Sunday evening, 9 o'clock, Ridge Radio in London. So it's ridgeradio.co.uk if you're outside. And you can have a listen to my top 5, which I have to say was damned hard to do.
Well, if it's gone down from 10 to 5 in the last 30 seconds, that means by the time the programme goes on, there'll be nothing there.
No, I didn't say that. You weren't listening at the beginning. Top 5. You try doing your top 5. It is terribly, terribly hard.
If you do your top 5, Mark.
No, I've thought about this because now and then I have fantasies that I'm going to be invited onto Desert Island Discs. Ha ha. So I can't even...
I wish you were on a desert island.
But it's hard, isn't it, girls?
I know, I could do mine dead easy.
Oh, go on then.
Like a Rolling Stone.
By?
Tangled Up in Blue.
By?
By Bob Dylan, by his Royal Bobness.
Uh-huh.
By his Lord of Dylan.
Yes.
Tangled Up in Blue, Blowing in the Wind, Times They Are Changing, Hurricane. Uh-huh. I can't think of any more.
You've done 5 already.
That was 5.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah.
I know, but they weren't really my favourites, ladies and gentlemen. I was just desperately trying to think of Bob Dylan titles off the top of my head.
Well, I can assure you, Sunday at 9 o'clock, Ridge Radio. It's 9 o'clock UK time, by the way. 10 o'clock Central European time. There will not be any Bob Dylan.
Yeah, because that's just you, because you're just a weirdo. You're like Kenneth Clarke, you, honestly. Honestly, you should both be jailed.
Oh, now there'll be some great music.
I'm under 16.
Put your knife away.
I'm in my head. So they've decided to make us all slimmer, says Mr. Banks. Is that the story you're on about?
I was just doing that one, yes, when you made me talk about his royal bobness.
Well,
yes, no, what they've decided that they've got to make us all slimmer so they can fit all the people back into the country, all the people who are going to come in. We all have to get littler and thinner so we can all stand side by side. It's a bit like India, actually, because I tell you what, walking down the streets in India, you've never seen so many people, and everybody's so friendly and nice, actually. He's really good.
TV chef who's famous both here, all over Europe and in America, Jamie Oliver has suggested this strategy of downgrading by 5 billion calories, and I quote, just worthless.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a funny word, isn't it? Regurgitated.
No, I was brewing up to that. Worthless, says Jamie Oliver. Regurgitated, patronising rubbish.
There, we're back to Kenneth Clark again.
He added, education is the key. Absolutely. Yeah.
Education is the key, but I mean, you need a target, and reducing your daily intake by, say, 100 calories a day, whatever has been suggested, is a good target.
I thought he meant learning how to use a knife and fork, sorry.
Oh, my God. Have you started eating with your left hand now?
It depends what my right hand's doing.
I don't think you ever eat with your left hand in Asia.
I was just testing him.
I knew what you were saying. You've got it wrong, though. What you should never do is shake hands with your left hand because of what people use their left hand to do. If you shake hands with them with your left hand, I'll do that with Jason Button. If he tries to shake hands with me with his left hand...
Yeah,
I tell you, I'll be telling him. Really? I know where you've had that hand, Jason.
Yeah, but not everybody's left-handed and does their ablutions with their left hand. What about right-handed people?
Because that's the law. That's the law. You can't do it with your... You can't ablute with your right hand. You've got to ablute with your left hand that everybody knows.
But what happens if you get a bit of splashback?
Well, they're all posh now, anyhow. They all carry bottles of water. That is the truth. They actually carry bottles of water when they go in a bush.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you're in a normal toilet, hang on a minute. You clean bits with your left hand, right?
This is disgusting.
And then
go on.
Yeah, right. So they clean with their left hand, eat with the right hand.
You see what I said? Do.
Yeah. But then what happens?
You eat with your right hand. Shake hands with your right hand.
Right.
And I mean,
you ablute with the left, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the rule.
So what happens? If it's been a long time since you've been to the little girl's room and you have a bit of splashback and it goes on the right-hand side?
Well, you just have to, jiggle it about a bit, don't you? Just you have to find a sheep or a pig and just have a wipe.
This conversation is getting absolutely disgusting.
I'm just using scientific clarification. Your left hand ain't going to go round to the right-hand side if you've had a little bit of splashback. That's all I'm saying. I'm trying to keep it clean when I'm saying it.
Oh, no. All I'm trying to say is that we have taken the Mickey out of Deli Belly and everything for 3 weeks now. Right. And it isn't really fair. The fact that openly and quite humanly that people are bluting the streets is because of the fact that they are nomadic people, and this nomadic life has obviously dictated certain actions that you do in certain ways over here. But the government are working tremendously to bring the standards of health and sanitation up to some kind of acceptable level. But it's a traditional thing. It's a traditional thing. And really, when you think, we're just squinnies in the West.
We're just what?
Well, I was going to say that. What?
Not squitters, squinnies.
I didn't say squinnies. The other word. Squinny. What are they then?
Well, don't you know what a squinny is?
No.
No, never heard of it.
A squinny is somebody who lives in Paris or Slovakia who takes a mickey out of somebody who's really big but 6,000 miles away in India.
Oh, right. Anyway, the United Nations estimates the world's 7th billion citizen will be born on Monday the 31st of October. It's not exactly clear where this will take place, but the UN has calculated it's likely to happen at 4:21 a.m. UK time. So
that's right. Now, could that mean it's going to happen in the UK?
Could be.
Well, maybe. Can I draw your attention to the striking similarity between this news piece and another news piece, which involves the random re-entry of another satellite.
Yes.
I think the random re-entry happened a long time, 9 months before this story.
No. This is another one. This is another one just about to break up, and it's going to be so big that there are going to be significant bits landing. Nobody knows where it's going to land, but it's coming in about the same time. And I think it's going to land, and I think it's probably going to contain the 7 billionth person. That's right. Either that, or we've got the revisitation of Mr. Bean. But somehow or other, there's an immaculate conception going to land somewhere at a place near you.
Well, I was looking at that story this morning and thinking, how do we fit that in after the last week when we did the other one? And I could only come up with tenuous links. So I thought, I'll leave it. Having said that, Mark's come up with an even more tenuous link. So I commend you.
It's real. I'm going to start a new religion.
Right. That's how Superman came here, isn't it?
Exactly right.
All right. Well, if you are expecting a child on Monday, do let us know by email. We'll give you a special mention here on RTI. And
look out in your back garden. It may be there already, struggling to get out.
I will genuinely find some special prezzies for you. By the way, next week, boys and girls, there will be a competition on RTI which will give you a chance to get something nobody on the planet has. This will be exclusive to RTI, and don't go selling it on eBay like Banksy always suggests, but there will be some very, very happy people next week. So stay tuned, tell your friends to tune in. There will be a mega competition for something you cannot buy on this station next week. Absolutely.
Can I just say something?
Friends and families and contributors.
Anybody.
Oh, great.
Yes.
But ladies and gentlemen, you have to ask yourself, if nobody in the world has got one, why would you want one?
Ah, because this is so exclusive, Mr. Banks, that unless you happen to be an Eric from RTI, you ain't going to get these things.
So you're going to win it?
And I asked...
Yeah, but there's got to at least be one other reciprocal for you to enjoy it.
Absolutely. And...
telephone.
Well, I asked the question if it was humanly possible. It's not normally done. This gift is not available in any high street shops, available on eBay, not nowhere. And I asked the question very politely, and I got a very positive answer. The gifts were made available, and they're in Aqua City right now. So do come back next week for a really exclusive opportunity to get something that was actually signed in Aqua City just for you. Just for you. And I can tell you there are only 5 of them in the world.
Ooh.
Just 5. Just 5. Because the thing itself, there was...
You nearly give it away then.
They did. Originally, there was 100 pieces made exclusively. And then
somebody broke it.
And then they were enhanced by a group... down
somebody
to just
back together
by 5. So there's only 5 of these things, and there's going to be no more made. Absolute fact. Guarantee.
Ooh.
Guarantee.
I know what it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, you may think, but you're not allowed to say. Where are we? Oh, yes. So it was the tree that did it. What?
Oh, I think this is an amazing story, don't you? Honestly, I'm now just flamming as I look for the story because you've jumped right through the list. There we have it, yeah. Yeah, 136 students, right, were apparently put out on punishment duty, made to stand outside the school. The Kompong, I've got to say that I think we should name this, the Kompong Cham High School. And they were made to stand outside in the heat and in the sun, and they were made to stand there for an hour. And unfortunately... That? Kompong, it's in Kompong Cham, you big... Anyway...
But where is it, you idiots?
It's in the Cham Ka Lu district.
Of?
Well, I think it's China, but I don't know.
All right, okay.
I don't think it's China, actually. Think it is China.
Could be North Korea, it could be Thailand, it could be all sorts of places. It could be Hong Kong.
It could be Chinatown in Manchester.
Yes.
Yeah, it could be any... Anyway, these kids all collapsed. 100 kids collapsed on the floor like that, right? There was a mass fainting session, and they all collapsed. Now, the school are really embarrassed about this, but they won't admit. They've now denied that it was a punishment duty that they put outside, and they said the reason they fainted is not because they were standing out in the sun for an hour and it was too hot for them and they all passed. It was because they were standing near a big tree and that naughty tree sucked all the air out of the atmosphere, which meant that they all passed out because the tree had taken all the oxygen. What a load of
Lee, there's a fundamental problem with that.
There is a fundamental problem.
Because what trees do is they take in air and give out oxygen.
No.
That's what I thought as well. Here, now let me read this. Heng Falrith, school director of Bosknor High School in the Chamkar Liu district, also cited the hospital's report in blaming the incident on a lack of oxygen, adding that he did not punish the students. That was just a rumour. It was the tree what did it.
But trees take in carbon dioxide and give out oxygen. That's why we don't want all the trees to cut down, because that creates global warming, because they can't give out the oxygen. So he's defying the laws of physics.
Yeah.
Eric, I do not make up the news, I just report it. Here he says the compound, the farmland surrounding the school, which absorbed all the oxygen.
I think the message here is not to go to the school in Chamkar Liu district for any general science or biology lessons, because they don't seem to know much.
I think you're quite right there. Avoid any physics lessons over there. You're going to get it wrong. BBC Radio has seen massive record audiences this week. Unfortunately, the BBC Radio 4, Mark, where have you been, has seen audiences fall by 300,000 listeners in the last 3 months.
That's 100,000 a month.
And all of them were me, because actually I haven't been listening very much.
They see, it is your fault. It is your fault because you haven't been listening.
I used to listen to Radio 4 all the time, but it really is a bit of rubbish now, isn't it?
Oh, no, it's wonderful.
Is it?
Well, it is. Is it? The news program in the morning is like a sort of a showcase for strange personalities who just like to show off and talk in weird voices and deliver news that is actually absolutely no newsworthiness at all. Then you get some strange priest who comes on and does that thing about talking about religion in the morning, which used to be really interesting and actually had some kind of moral and message to portray. And now it doesn't. It's just the ramblings. It's like a blog from some inarticulate God botherer, right? And then you've got
let's go back to some roots here. Recently, man in charge
is that the tree? We're going back to Chomp Bob. Yeah.
Man from BBC says we've got to be more factual, educational, and stop all the frivolity. So please explain to me, Mark, not you, Mark, the other Mark, the BBC, the DG of the BBC. Right. Please explain to me why programs like Chris Evans' Radio 2 show, which is your idea of frivolity, has jumped like mad.
Frivolous.
Radio 1 as a whole has drawn in 11.8 million listeners. It's the highest they've ever done since 1999. So could you just explain to me why your strategy of all this boring stuff being extended is going to work when the country's saying, we don't want any of that?
Do you know why? I can answer this dead simply.
Yeah, it's called government pressure.
Because the intelligent quotient of this country has been lowered and lowered by the nonsensical dross that's put out as entertainment in this country. This is probably the thing that will destroy our nation. We have become a nation of morons because of television and what is portrayed as intelligence and entertainment. What a load of rubbish.
So 30 seconds ago, you were just lambasting the intellectual side of Radio 4, and yet now you're saying the complete opposite, that it should be more of the same. So which side of the fence are you falling on?
No, I don't say. I say that there is an area that we are neglecting. We are presenting anodyne news on radio stations, on radio programs like today. They get into boring politics. The only people they ever talk to are Boris Johnson and people like that, and they just deliver anodyne news that has no excitement in it, no drama, nothing. If there's a big, amazing event that happens in the world somewhere, they'll pass over it so they can go and talk to Boris Johnson again. And they, when you talk about people like Chris Evans, right, and Chris Moyles and those sort of people, well, they are delivering the other end of anodyninity. They are delivering ridiculous stupidity.
Why do the people like them?
Because there's nothing else there for them to like.
Oh,
and think that's
please.
What it's all about.
Oh,
of
please.
Course there are. You've oh, got people please. Like Russell Brand who are setting this world on fire with hilarious and entertaining comedy. You've got Jonathan Ross, who actually is one of the best presenters ever been, who's been like barnacled or whatever it is when you stop them talking. All sorts of things like that. This world has turned against entertainment and literature and charm and wit, and people like me should be famous.
Right, that's so calm. Yeah, I might apologise to the entire planet for that rant from Banks. which, as you will probably always be sitting there throwing things at your radio, computer or other device at the moment, I apologise. When actually, I suppose all the manufacturers of said devices should love us to pieces after that, because you'll be selling tons of the stuff.
What about Fatty George Michael, then?
Well, hold on
How's
a minute.
How's that entertainment?
Well, it's not. It's a journalist that's done it. So anyway, I wish to compliment the good old BBC for their overall figures going up. Higher than ever, and also I'll add into that one of the best breakfast show radio programs there is going, which is good old Johnny on Capital FM in London, which if you get a chance to listen to, you should do. It's incredibly good fun, well put together program, and there's nothing that Lee Banks will like at all.
What about LBC and program and stations like that?
Brilliant.
What about Talk Sport? Good, exactly, that's what I'm talking about.
No, Talk Sport
is intelligent stations.
No, Talk Sport is not a great station. LBC is a great station.
Talk Sport's not a bad station. My friend Mike Parry has turned that around, and he's one of Britain's best broadcasters. He's been a bit poorly recently, but he's still one of the best broadcasters you can have. He's edgy,
like
he's
sports,
on the ball.
It's pretty specific stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah. But
LBC is a good general station, but I mean, for my taste, I have to say it's not sufficiently general.
I'm a
not sufficiently national.
I can talk about sport. I'm going to phone
well,
tomorrow.
Actually, I should chastise you for that a little bit, Mark, because since LBC's gone national on DAB and satellite, it's got more national.
Oh, has it?
Very much so.
I've listened to it.
And I would, even though it's very early, he does the pre-breakfast show. If you want to listen to the master of talk radio, you can forget all your guys out in America. I'm sorry, lads. Yeah. But Steve Allen, who does the pre-breakfast show on LBC, he's the master at talk radio. And anybody even dreaming of going into radio should listen to Steve, but he will tell you one thing. Don't try and be me.
Stop telling him off now. You've told him off enough now.
But be yourselves. Steve Allen, the master, on LBC 97.3 London. And I can still say it. Facebook has set up a data centre in Lapland very quickly.
In
who
Lapland?
Who are you asking me?
Well, I don't care
I
who.
I must say, I thought when I first saw this story, I don't think we should use this because it's mentioning Father Christmas. Then,
in which case, we won't use it. That's the end of Postcard from Pop Rap, boys and girls, for another week. See you next week. Bye-bye.
From the heart of the earth to the world, RTI.